In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, March 24th, AD 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Pencils down, time's up. President Donald Trump and House Speaker Paul Ryan are calling for a vote on the Republican version of Obamacare today. CNN says there are 26 Republicans ready to defect on the vote, and the Republicans can only afford to lose 21. Trump is promising Republicans who oppose this vote that they'll lose their seats in the next election. Meanwhile, the Congressional Budget Office is now only projecting a $150 billion savings over 10 years instead of the originally projected $337 billion savings after the Republicans made a few tweaks to the legislation. The current version also includes a measure requiring the defunding of Planned Parenthood. The house of a church leader in Laos was burned down by an arsonist in January, according to a report from persecution.org. Pastor Yang lost everything in the blaze, including his motorbike and his supply of rice. A fourth person, an American citizen, died in that London terror attack, and six more remain in critical condition. Kirk Cochran was a Mormon from Utah. Plus, the Islamic State has now accepted responsibility for this attack on innocent citizens. Deaths from drugs, alcohol, and suicide have increased for middle-aged white Americans. A Princeton economist who conducted the study calls these, quote, despair deaths, unquote, affecting 45 to 54-year-olds. Suicides were up 62% for this middle-aged group. The report shows that the overall rate increase of deaths for this age group was 12% since 1998. While most European nations improved during the same time frame. Wisdom speaks in Proverbs 8, "For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." Television's Power Rangers series has entertained 7 to 12-year-old children for decades. Now, the new major motion picture release will present one of its teenage Power Rangers as a lesbian. Director Dean Israelite says he hopes this new twist will, quote, resonate with a younger audience, unquote, according to the New York Post. Meanwhile, Malaysia has agreed to release both Beauty and the Beast and the Power Ranger movies without cutting the scenes depicting homosexuality. Planned Parenthood is shuttering two more offices in Pennsylvania after closing down three towards the end of last year. Reports on LifeSite News attributed it to a decrease in federal funding and increased state regulations on abortion mills after the Kermit Gosnell story broke in 2010. Another pro-life bill banning abortions exceeding 20 weeks of pregnancy is working its way through Iowa's legislature. If the bill is approved, it would join 16 other states with 20-week abortion bans. Psalm 2, 10 through 11 says, "Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear." In more confirmation hearings yesterday, President Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch, explained to Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat from Illinois, that the Supreme Court of the United States has held in Roe v. Wade that a fetus is not a person for purposes of the 14th Amendment. When Durbin asked him if he accepts that, Gorsuch responded, quote, "I accept the law of the land, Senator. Yes," unquote. Stay tuned. Immediately following the Worldview newscast today, you can hear a special report featuring the analysis of the Gorsuch hearings by Alan Parker, a pro-life attorney who represented both Norma McCorvey, a.k.a. Jane Roe, and Sandra Cano, a.k.a. Mary Doe, before the Supreme Court, both of whom hoped in their latter years that the court would overturn the pro-abortion decisions bearing their fictitious names. New Zealand has provided human rights to a river, of all things. The Maori people group has claimed the Whanganui River as their ancestor and the post-Christian government of New Zealand is accommodating, according to a Guardian report. Romans 1:25 says, "They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." And thanks be to God, Christian evangelist Paul Washer should be coming home from the hospital over the weekend after suffering a heart attack on Wednesday. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, March 24th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Now, as promised, a special report on Judge Neil Gorsuch's appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee this week. Alan Parker, president of the Justice Foundation based in San Antonio, Texas, brings true gravitas to the conversation.
I represented both Norma McCorvey, who died recently, and Sandra Cano, who died 2 years ago. They were the Roe and Doe. Both of those ladies did everything in their power to go to the Supreme Court, put it on record that they wanted their cases reversed.
Parker took issue with Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein's conclusion that Roe v. Wade is some kind of, quote, super precedent, unquote.
First of all, Senator Feinstein is completely wrong. There's no such thing as a super precedent in the law at all. Every decision of the Supreme Court is a settled decision and is thus the law of the land until it's overturned by the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court has overturned over 200 of its own constitutional cases. So a judge should not overturn a case lightly. But Neil Gorsuch left the case open for overturning Roe v. Wade in a case that justified overturning it, such as new facts or circumstances that were not known in 1973, such as scientific evidence of humanity, new evidence of the harm to women, the fact that it has remained unworkable, or the fact that it has not been accepted generally by the American people. It's still the most massively controversial case in American history. All of those are proper grounds for overturning a Supreme Court precedent. So he simply meant it should be treated as precedent until it's overturned by the Supreme Court.
Parker cited perhaps the most well-known Supreme Court reversal out of 200 reversals. In 1954, in the Brown v. Board of Education decision, the court declared state laws establishing separate public schools for black and white students to be unconstitutional. That decision overturned the Plessy v. Ferguson decision of 1896, which allowed state-sponsored public school segregation.
If Dianne Feinstein had her way, we'd still have segregated schools because Plessy v. Ferguson, separate but equal, was the law of the land for 58 years. And lots of people didn't want to change, but the Supreme Court did the right thing, reversed its own error, which is its duty to do.
Parker believes that Judge Gorsuch, in his carefully crafted answers, did not indicate a propensity to uphold or overturn Roe v. Wade.
I feel that Judge Gorsuch kept an open mind on whether or not Roe v. Wade should be overturned without forecasting whether he would do so or would not do so. He left the door open to overturn Roe v. Wade in an appropriate case. But until it is overturned by the Supreme Court, he simply acknowledged that it is a binding precedent of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Despite the fact that 60 pro-life groups have endorsed Gorsuch for the Supreme Court, including the Family Research Council, National Right to Life, Operation Rescue, Priests for Life, Concerned Women for America, and the American Life League, Parker could not definitively say that Gorsuch is pro-life.
Is Gorsuch pro-life? My answer is I do not know at this point, and I have not endorsed Neil Gorsuch, but I have not opposed him either. I think he very likely could be pro-life now, or he could be pro-life when an appropriate case with a massive amount of evidence comes to him and he evaluates it on the merits. But it has concerned me. The church that he attends is a very liberal Episcopal church that embraces LGBTQ agenda.
However, Parker admits that the U.S. Senate's rejection of President Reagan's nomination of Judge Robert Bork to the Supreme Court might have led Gorsuch to play the role of stealth candidate during the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings this week.
His reticence to get into the weeds and sort of go as a stealth candidate was learned from the Bork experience.
Alan Parker is quick to add that he is encouraged by Judge Gorsuch's undisputed respect for every human life.
He has expressed respect for every human life in his books on assisted suicide and why there's no constitutional right to assisted suicide. The Supreme Court has actually adopted that very same position. So he does express a high degree of respect for human life. That's the essential issue in Roe v. Wade. So it would give one hope that he would respect that life when presented with new scientific evidence that life begins at the moment of conception.
Parker believes that God providentially intervened to assure Trump's victory.
I believe that God acted in human history by intervening in this election to see that Donald Trump was elected president. I believe he's going to get two or three more justices, and I believe the cumulative effect of that will see the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
And finally, Parker hopes that next time there is an opening on the Supreme Court, that President Donald Trump will not flinch from selecting a judge who has already expressed on the record the hope of overturning Roe v. Wade.
I think that the next nominee should be someone like Edith Jones of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, who has written that the Supreme Court should reconsider Roe v. Wade in light of new evidence.
This has been another special report on the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings on Judge Neil Gorsuch. I'm Adam McManus. We want to invite you to join us at the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Friday, August 11th and Saturday, August 12th, 2017. We are in a worldview war today, just as Noah was when he was building the ark. The NOAA Conference will equip you to disciple your children in an ungodly generation with the right worldview. Admission to Ken Ham's Ark Encounter is included for your whole family. Register at NOAAConference.org. That's NOAAConference.org.
Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast, my friends. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. During the slow but steady demise of Western civilization, Western culture that's been around for some 2,000 years, and we are fighting for a little faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. Bill Jack here in studio with me from Worldview Academy. And boy, Bill, wake up and smell the napalm. The zeitgeist is moving like a freight train. The Beauty and the Beast came out of the closet, boom, with an explosion. Did you watch it? $174 million in the first weekend. $400 million in box office receipts worldwide in its first weekend. The zeitgeist is rolling on this one. Now, the reason this is important is because this is Disney's first attempt to bring an explicit homosexual scene into one of their movies specifically designed for kids. And so this is huge. This is the brave new world, and it is unfolding, and the world is ready. The world has received it. The world has stepped in and said, we are ready, baby, for this great unfolding, unraveling of sexual ethics in the 21st century, especially for my seven-year-old kid. We got to be sure the seven-year-olds get a fair amount of exposure to homosexuality. And friends, this is the biggest PG opener in history. This is the biggest PG movie opener in history at $174 million, complete with the first explicit homosexual scene. And the key thing here is it was rated PG. It's one thing to include homosexuality in an R-rated movie or a PG-13 movie. Bill, here is what makes this so insidious. This movie was a PG movie intended for the entire family. So families walked into this movie to be sure that the entire family was indoctrinated into the homosexual lifestyle at the same time. time. So that's what makes this movie so incredibly radical. This is revolutionary, my friends. This is how revolutions take place. You are in the middle of a cultural revolution in the United States of America. No, this is not the cultural revolution that Mao Zedong brought to China. This is a different kind of cultural revolution, but I'm going to say it's just about as dangerous. Wouldn't you say, Bill, just about as dangerous as Mao's cultural revolution, though a bit more insidious?
Well, it's more subtle. Okay, it's not marching in the street. It's marching through the theaters.
You got it.
It's marching through the minds.
You got it. That's precisely what's going on. Friends, the PG-rated film means that families and children are watching this and they are being endeared to homosexuality. This is an all-out effort on the part of the left to homosexualize the next generation of 8-year-old and 10-year-old kids. And it's coming through the principalities and powers that dominate Hollywood today. This, my friends, is what is going on right now in our culture. One liberal commentator on high snobiety commented this way. Let me read this comment concerning Beauty and the Beast that came out last weekend. Again, friends, a opener weekend that set records in the box office. Here is one liberal commentator from high snobiety. And again, this is what he says. For the conservative ethicists out there who morally oppose the movie for its homosexual scene, let's just completely ignore the fact that this classic fairy tale has now received not one but two remakes from Disney without even the slightest hint of disapproval for the fact that the story's protagonist, a human, essentially develops and carries on a romantic relationship with what is basically an animal. Now, that's Beauty and the Beast he's talking about. Now, the liberal apparently seems to be okay with this interspecies breeding. Now, this is not a newbie. This is not a new thing for the liberal Hollywoodites. I think of Star Trek Into the Darkness, where you had a scene of interspecies fornication where a human is breeding not with just one, but with two these other species as part of Star Trek. And apparently these guys are A-okay with it. By the way, interspecies mating has been part of Star Trek since its first episode. This is a point we've made before, is that the evolutionary worldview cannot argue against interspecies breeding and bestiality. Evolutionary worldviews simply cannot take an ethical position against interspecies breeding on the part of humans and bestiality. Now, Christians, I don't believe, can allow for this.
What? You don't think they can?
No. Why? And a number of reasons. First reason is that
you even
humans,
question whether or not they can?
Humans are made in the image of God. Humans are assigned a spouse, which happens to be a member of the opposite sex. Friends, God's law forbids it. Now, again, the worldview of the evolutionists who put together the Star Trek stories. No question that Gene Roddenberry was about homosexuality and interspecies breeding back in the 1980s and 1990s. No question whatsoever about this. The evolutionary worldview simply cannot take any ethical position against any form of sexuality. Are you with me here? But why? Because animals can breed with whatever animals want to breed with. Because animals are not made in the image of God, and animals do not have to submit themselves to the laws of God relating to sexual sin. But Christians should not allow for this, man. We cannot allow for humans to interbreed with other species. It's just wrong, wrong, wrong. It's confusion. It's sinful. It's unnatural. It's something that even the most primitive pagans considered unnatural until you get to the 1980s.
Right.
That's something. I mean, if you asked cannibals, you interviewed them, and you said, what do you think about breeding with other species? What do you think they would say? I'm talking about just cannibals out in the middle of nowhere.
They would have
in the 1880s.
They would have a distaste for that.
They would have a distaste for it, yes. The most primitive. No, but you get into the 1980s and 1990s, whole new deal, my friends. Yes, we are in some of the most radical, most anti-biblical, the most immoral, the most unethical, the most wicked sexual environment that the world has ever known right now. What do you think, Bill? Am I exaggerating the case somewhat?
No, I don't think you are. I think what we're going to see is more and more of this being blatantly brought forward. And it's interesting that this secular commentator has pinpointed something that is the next wave. you know, Christians are always about 10 years behind the culture. Yeah. And Christians are going, they're up in arms calling for a boycott of Disney because of the homosexual scene. And yet this guy is signaling you better pay attention because what's coming next in Disney is going to be even worse.
Yep. And I realize these are American icons. I understand. I get the pushback. I get the negative emails on issues like this. And, you know, we've been something out on the forefront on these issues. But why? Because Jesus said, if there are anybody out there that's stumbling, one of the least of these who believe in me, one of these least of these children who believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he be drowned at the bottom of the sea. And it seems to me that we as Christians, certainly pastors and parents, ought to take a position and warn their children, their congregations, their families on these issues. I realize these are American icons, but see, children get their hearts wrapped around these TV programs, these icons, these characters. Children develop affinities with these characters. And then the authors, the producers, the principies and the powers, they pervert them. They horribly violate the children that identify with these characters. That's what happens again and again and again. It happened with How to Train Your Dragon, with Hiccup's mentor, the little boy's mentor turning out to be a homosexual, as defined by, again, the producers slash director. And Harry Potter, again, you know, you got to get 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 million kids identifying with the characters first, and then we discover that Harry Potter's mentor was Dumbledore, who happened to be a homosexual as well, outed by the author herself. Frozen, already perverted. It's just going to be perverted some more. We know that's going to happen. And then Disney with Beauty and the Beast, and now we're adding the homosexual scene. And now the Power Rangers movie. This is coming out this weekend, and now this is even more insidious, if it's possible, than what we find with Beauty and the Beast, because with this movie now coming out this weekend, and hey, this is a 1-2 punch for families around the United States. Once they've taken their kids off to be indoctrinated in the homosexual lifestyle at the feet of Beauty and the Beast, now we move on next week to the Power Ranger movie coming out, in which the yellow Power Ranger Trini, played by Becky G, is portrayed as struggling with her sexual orientation. One character assumes she's having boyfriend problems, but realizes that Trini is actually having girlfriend problems. Yeah. And so Trini happens to be a teen Power Ranger in this big Power Ranger movie coming out. And you know something about Power Rangers. Power Rangers are the little heroes for the 7, 8, 9-year-old crowd. Power Rangers TV has a Y7 rating. You have kids 7 years old watching this stuff. And homosexuals, of course, are committed, man. They're committed to seeing young boys and girls at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age becoming homosexuals. Homosexuals are committed to this kind of stuff. This is how they multiply, and this is how you get to the Greek gymnasium. This is what's going on, my friends. This right now, we're looking at some of the most radical revolutionary cultural changes in this nation that we have seen in the history of this country, and it's happening this weekend. Power Rangers coming out this week with another sales pitch for homosexuality for the benefit of kids 7 years of age. Be back with more on the Generations broadcast in just a moment.
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years. A refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses, this course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, my friends. Kevin Swanson here. Speaking of the Cultural Revolution breaking out even as we speak, this week in Power Rangers coming out with a lesbian character last week, a homosexual character in Beauty and the Beast. Week after week, the 7-year-olds, the 10-year-olds, the 12-year-olds are bombarded with a pro-homosexual message. And the results, of course, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but huge increase in the incidence of homosexuality amongst teens. Huge increase. It's doubled in the last 10 years. We'll get to those stats in just a moment. So the results, of course, is that the masses of our 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds turning towards homosexuality. Pop singer Katy Perry would be a case in point. Bill, Katy Perry was raised in a Christian home out in Santa Barbara. She said she got tired of singing Amazing Grace, and she began to sing I Kissed a Girl, a song on lesbianism. She's confessed now that homosexuality was her ticket out of the faith. At a homosexual rights gala on Friday night, Perry called her homosexuality a gift that introduced her to people outside my bubble. Quote, they were the most free, strong, kind, and inclusive people I ever met.
In other words, they agreed with her position. Yeah. And they confirmed and affirmed her sin.
Her sin.
Mm-hmm. So she said, when I was growing up, homosexuality was synonymous with the word abomination and hell, mm-hmm. a place of gnashing of teeth, continual burning of skin, and probably Mike Pence's ultimate guest list for a barbecue. No way. I wanted mm-hmm. the pearly gates and unlimited fro-yo toppings, which is an interesting reference to a TV show called The Good Place, which is, it turns out, the character in The Good Place, the main character, was supposedly to go to hell, but she ends up in The Good Place.
Yeah.
But the twist in the season is that The Good Place really is hell.
Yeah.
That it turns out that it's not the good place at all. It's hell. So it's ironic that she said, I wanted the pearly gates and unlimited froyo toppings. Froyo toppings is part of the good place.
Yeah.
And and then she goes on to say, most of my unconscious adolescence, I prayed the gay away at my Jesus camps. Mm-hmm. But then in the middle of it all, in a twist of events, I found my gift.
Yeah.
And my gift introduced me to people outside my bubble, et cetera.
Yep, that's what she's saying. And, it's the sad part about it is that she has embraced the demonic deception, and she does not want to define sin God's way, and she's calling good evil and evil good, and this is, of course, what happens in our society today. It's a little bit of the Dimmesdale-Hester tension in The Scarlet Letter, where Dimmesdale had been to all the Jesus camps in which he was attempting his own salvation, and he was a man who was attempting his own atonement and so forth, and it came to the point at which Hester Prynne really wanted freedom from 2,000 years. At that point, I think she said 1,800 years of the influence of Jesus Christ, the influence of a Christian worldview, in so that she could participate in her adultery as much as she wanted to do. So again, it's the Scarlet Letter tension in which there was no freedom in self-atonement. There was no freedom in trying to save themselves from their own sin. And then they're seeking a freedom elsewhere, which apparently is supposed to come through this ethical freedom to do whatever you want to do and to have any kind of sexual sin that you want to have. And so what we find here is abandonment of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because all of us absolutely need the salvation of Christ. All of us need the atoning work of Jesus Christ in our lives. All of us need to fall on our faces, just cry out for mercy. And God is good. God provides mercy, and he will save us from our sins.
She goes on to say, she said, real change, real evolution, and real perception shift can happen if we open our minds and soften our hearts. People can change, believe me. Well, I do believe her when she says people can change, but she's relying on her own power, not the power of the Holy Spirit working
and
through us.
She's also believing that salvation is salvation from God versus salvation to God.
Yeah.
And so she wants to be saved from the God of the Bible instead of being saved from her sins to worship and serve the Creator instead of worshiping and serving herself.
It's really interesting because when you see the actual footage, her countenance has changed from what she used to be to what she is now. Mm-hmm. It's dramatic. Very dramatic and traumatic to watch her give this speech. And she talks about tolerance. She talks about acceptance. Mm-hmm. And yet there's nothing but disdain and hatred pouring out of her towards Christianity
and whatever her parents did.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just a twisting of the words, and whatever was free, strong, kind, and inclusive turns out to be just the opposite. So she's putting her own meaning into those words. Well, let's take a look at what's going on in the future, friends. If you want to see what the trends look like as we see the Katy Perry's leading the charge and towards sexual nihilism, the destruction of sexuality, not just the decadence and the perversion of it, but the destruction of it. This is precisely what's happening in our generation. Probably the first time it's ever happened wholesale in some 80 to 100 nations around the world all at one time. Certainly this is one of the most dramatic sexual suicides we have seen in the history of mankind, at least as far as history bears it out. But we're starting to see even more. Here's an example of this. This is an article written by Judith Reisman, front page commentary. And she says that she records that on Monday, March 20th, 2017, which would have been about 3, 4, 5 days ago, Graham Spanier, past president of Penn State University. You remember Penn State University was the university in which Jerry Sandusky was caught in his multiple sexual indiscretions and sins with little boys. Well, apparently the president of Penn State University is scheduled to go on trial on charges of criminal child endangerment and conspiracy related to former football coach Jerry Sandusky's rapes of little boys. So the president, past president, Graham Spanier, is now scheduled to go on trial on charges. And at issue is whether Spanier, who was president of Penn State at that time, failed to investigate or covered up Sandusky's crimes. Turns out Spanier was an enthusiastic supporter of sexual liberation, much of what we've been talking about on this edition of the program. These college presidents, and of course, this is where the very frontier of sexual perversion is happening on the college campuses. It turns out he allowed for a keynote speech for a man or a woman or somebody named Patrick Calafia Rice, a pedophilia advocate and advocate for transgender sadomasochism. He allowed for a keynote speech from this person on the Penn State campus. He also allowed for an on-campus sex fair. His 1973 doctoral dissertation was entitled Sexual Socialization and interacted with the idea of pedophilia. Basically, there were a lot of Kinsey connections in his background. And Judith Reisman, she says she can't see how Spanier, the president of Penn State University under Jerry Sandusky's crimes, would have a problem with old Jerry Sandusky and the Penn State abominations based upon his doctoral thesis. And the number of college professors in the news who are accused of and convicted of child pornography are at this point too many to count. I think people need to understand that this is the environment right now on college campuses with college professors. And by the way, they outnumber Democrats outnumber Republicans for 36-year-old and under professors in American
22
colleges.
22 to 1.
22, 23 to 1. Sexual progressivism, sexual deviance is usually tested on the college campuses first. And that's the future, my friends. This is the future. This is where we're headed. This is the direction we're headed. Just take a look at Jerry Sandusky and the doctoral thesis of Graham Spanier, and I think you're going to understand something of the future of sexuality in America. And now here are the official CDC numbers. As we monitor what's going on with the wholesale sexualization and homosexualization of 7-year-old kids and 9-year-old kids and 12-year-old kids at the hands of Hollywood, the producers of Power Rangers and Beauty and the Beast, I think you all need to understand what the CDC numbers look like over the last 10 years. A decade ago, 5.1% of high school kids, that is 800,000 high school kids, said they were sexually interested in their own sex. In 2015, it was 1.5 million, almost double in 10 years. An increase of almost double. And that's almost, Bill, that's almost 10% of the high school kids in America are homosexual. And it's doubled in the last 10 years. If it will double in the next 10 years, it will be 20%.
Well,
if it will double in the next 10 years after that,
double
it will
in
be 40%.
This is going to be the snowball effect.
Oh, and here's Great Britain numbers. In 1991, 91% of 18 to 24-year-olds said they were exclusively straight, and only 4% ever had homosexual sex. By 2015, Bill, only 46% said the same, and 23% said they had experienced gay sex, meaning an increase of some 600% on the percentage. A six-fold increase on the percentage since 1991, almost a quarter of the 18 to 24-year-old population are homosexual or at least bisexual. A 600% increase since 1991, my friends. This is called an exponential increase. 25%, a quarter of the 18 to 24-year-old population has interacted with homosexual sin. The implications here, of course, is that every abomination will be normalized within about 10 years. Bill, I think that's the implication here. As we study what's going on, as we see the radical, radical cultural revolution happening in Hollywood over the last 2 weeks, and as we see what's going on in the numbers from the CDC, friends, an increase of 200% on the percentage of high school kids that call themselves homosexual in America, and a 600% increase since 1991 for Great Britain teens. These are huge increases. This is called the exponential curve. We have hit the hyperbolic function on the exponential curve, my friends, as the sexual nihilism, the sexual destructiveness, and the sexual perversion, as God gives up the next generation, the millennial generation, the mosaic generation, the current teenage generation, to the sin, the ultimate social sin of homosexuality and the destruction of an entire society. This is what it looks like, my friends. The implications, every abomination will be normalized within the next 10 years, and the consent laws are going away. Bill, I don't believe the consent laws are going to survive. Why? Because I think we're within 5-8 years from the legalization of pedophilia. That's where we are right now. Come on, my friends, wake up and smell the napalm. The battle over the worldviews are really engaging now. The battle over sexuality, the battle over human society is engaged even as we speak. And so what do we say? We say to parents, be so careful. It's time to pull the Benedict option. That's what we're calling it these days. You've seen the book. It's come out. We want to review that again on some future edition of this program. But the Benedict option is saying, hey, we're not playing this game anymore. We're getting off the merry-go-round. We're avoiding the zeitgeist. We're not accepting the zeitgeist from the culture or from the educational systems. We are going to do something different. We're going to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're abandoning the sinful, worldly approaches to destroying families and destroying sexuality. It's time to come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. It's time to repent. Bill, I think it's time to repent and develop a completely different worldview perspective concerning all of these things, and to seek salvation. To seek salvation from this dying, wicked world, and to find it in the Lord Jesus Christ, to cry out to God for his salvation for ourselves and for our children, and to seek a salvation from these sins in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's why he came. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their emotional problems. No. He shall save his people from political problems, from the dominance of Rome and other tyrants over us. No. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. That, my friends, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. My encouragement as we wrap up this edition of the Generations program is to grab a copy of our book called Keep the Faith on Sexuality, a little hardback we put together that gives you a distinctively biblical perspective on these things and a historical Christian perspective on these sexual issues, because, man, we're in the middle of this thing right now, and if Christians are not rooted and grounded on God's word in these issues, they will be blown about with every wind of doctrine. I encourage you to our little book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality. Be sure that other families in your church have copies of this, as well as your elders and pastors. Be sure that you have a copy of Keep the Faith on Sexuality, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.